naming names.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. It's the morning open, a look at the economy as trading begins for the day. And we start with some new information, official details coming in this morning about the U.S. government's deal with the Swiss banking giant UBS. It ends a contentious international lawsuit. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is following the developments for us. She's joining us live from our New York bureau with an update. Hi, Elisa.
Good morning.
So what can you tell us about the list?
The IRS is saying the Swiss bank is going to hand over a list of about 4,500 American account holders. Now, you'll remember when this all started, the United States was actually asking for about 52,000 names. So this is a lot fewer, but it sounds like the 4,500 they're getting are the ones they really wanted the most. In any case, this is all happening because the United States accused UBS of helping Americans evade taxes by letting them keep secret bank accounts. American authorities agreed to settle the lawsuit if the bank handed over a list of Americans who have accounts there. So this is the list.
And how ultimately does this change the game?
Well, it probably means that other banks in Switzerland will eventually have to hand over similar information. So this might be the end of that mysterious Swiss bank account. It could also make it harder to stash your billions anywhere else offshore. That said, it's not going to put Switzerland's banking industry at risk. There are plenty of other reasons to keep money there, like its location and the stability of the whole system generally.
All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joining us from New York. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
And where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P and NASDAQ both down about 0.5%. The Dow trading down lower at 9184, down about 33 points right now. European markets are down across the board right now as well, mostly under 1%. Asian shares closed lower today. The Chinese benchmark lost nearly 4.5%. The Hang Seng was down nearly 1.75%, its lowest showing in a month. And oil's just at under $69 a barrel. Applications for mortgages here in the United States rose last week, thanks in part to interest rates hitting a five-week low. Most of the jump is refinancing. But there also seems to be some healthier demand for loans to buy a home. Richard DeKayser is president of Woodley Park Research. He's with us live from his office in Washington. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So a big week for housing data. New home construction was down a bit. We heard that yesterday. But these mortgage apps just keep coming in. What's all this telling you?
Well, I think it's very clear that we're seeing a turnaround in the housing market. Not everything is singing in harmony, but in terms of sales and in terms of construction, all the indicators are pointing upward. And I think what we really have to be grateful here for is the silver lining, if you will, in falling home prices. Housing is affordable today. The share of the typical family income to buy the typical house today is the lowest it's been since 1968. So for those of us who are homeowners, that's not good news. But for those who are looking to get into the market, it's great news. And I think that's the principal driver for this rebound in sales.
Yeah, I keep hearing this. If you can buy now, now is the time to do it. But I'm wondering how much time there really is to get on these deals.
Well, I think there's plenty of time, frankly. I mean, we haven't seen the bottom in home prices, at least not as yet, as the indicators tell us. So, you know, another 3, 6, 9, or even 12 months will probably be fine. And unless mortgage rates move up dramatically in that time, you'll be safe. And I don't think they will. The only thing that's going away, potentially, is this very nice deal the government's giving us all with a first-time homebuyer credit. Now, this doesn't apply to everyone, but for first-time homebuyers, it's very generous. And that is slated to roll off at the end of this year unless Congress reapproves it for 2010.
All right. Richard DeKayser joining us this morning from Washington. Richard, thanks.
My pleasure.
Deere & Company, the farm equipment maker, said today its third-quarter profit tumbled 27%, but the report beat Wall Street expectations. Profits at Hewlett-Packard dropped by 19% in the latest quarter. The company blamed sales of personal computers and printer ink. Listening to the Morning Report for Wednesday, August 19th, 2009, at marketplace.org. Remember how technology fueled the booming economy of the 1990s? Well, could technology pull us out of this recession? Tech execs think so. A new survey reveals that computer hardware and software company CEOs predict their industry will recover more quickly than the rest of the economy. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
Auditor KPMG finds that 8 out of 10 technology executives expect their business to power up next year. KPMG's Gary Matuszak says companies have delayed IT improvements during the slowdown.
As companies start to get a little bit more predictability into their own businesses, they're going to start to open up some of those projects again.
Executives say they're also investing in new technologies that merge computing with TV. But are skittish consumers ready to start buying? San Francisco University business professor John Fisher doesn't think so, at least until another big industry recovers first.
I think consumers are literally going to have to see their home prices stabilize and recover so that they get that fuel to actually have either mortgage equity withdrawals or borrowing potential to inject into the economy.
That means new gadgets will have to wait. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Brett Favre just can't seem to retire. After two attempts in as many years, the NFL legend has agreed to come back, this time with the Minnesota Vikings. Marketplace's Amy Scott looked into what the news could mean for the team's bottom line.
Brett Favre's second comeback is causing a stir in the Twin Cities. For 16 seasons, he played for the Vikings' arch rivals, the Green Bay Packers. University of Minnesota marketing professor George John says his son called him from football camp to share the news.
He's the most recognized football figure in the upper Midwest. People are passionate about him, and the casual fan will be energized by this.
That energy could mean big business for the Vikings in sales of tickets and purple number 4 jerseys. Paul Swangard teaches sports marketing at the University of Oregon.
Licensing revenue, butts and seats, and obviously the sponsors and the advertisers who will want to associate them all combined together, it's a nice little benefit.
The Vikings are taking a risk. After a strong start with the New York Jets last season, Favre's performance fell apart. But with several NFL records under his belt, Viking fans hope Favre is just what the team needs to make a run for the Super Bowl. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Earlier this month, Oregon joined a handful of other states that allow their farmers to grow hemp. Cash Peters looks at how businesses are turning to this alternative product and the stigma attached to it.
Hemp's an amazing plant. Ask Lauren Serban. He imports it.
It's the only plant around that can provide fuel, clothing, building materials, and medicine.
Told you. Amazing. In the 1800s, it was grown all over the U.S. The first Bibles were printed on hemp paper. The first Model T Ford car was made from hemp. Then suddenly, in 1937, poof, it was gone. Made illegal under federal law. How come?
Well, a lot of people associate hemp with marijuana.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that'll do it. Same plant, different uses. Since then, even though it has a whole bunch of environmentally friendly applications, it's been banned at the federal level. Ted McDonald is a strong hemp advocate. Why is it banned, Ted?
I wish I had an answer to say it would be simple. It's just clear this whole plot of land here and start growing hemp and make the products that we need to make, and life would be great, but it doesn't seem to be going that direction.
Well, no. I mean, it would help if the general public wasn't completely clueless about it.
Do you think hemp should be legalized in America?
I don't have any opinion on that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no opinion.
Go away.
I know nothing about hemp.
Do you want to sit down and I'll tell you all about it?
No, not at all.
Wow. The way Lauren Serbin's company, Hemp Traders, gets around the law is to import it from China.
While it's illegal to grow hemp here, it's not illegal to import any of the hemp products.
How do you use hemp in your ordinary life?
Oh, well...
Is this laptop computer made of hemp?
No, but my shorts are made of hemp right here. In my refrigerator, I have some hemp seed milk.
Yeah, yes, the milk. We'll come back to that. Yet, oddly, consumers are slowly discovering hemp. Jay Beaton's just, a guy, but he's been buying it for years.
There's a little store in Manitou Springs where I live, and there's a hemp store. They've got marvelous fabrics in there, right down the hiking boots. They even sell hemp ice cream.
Okay, so this is hemp milk.
Hemp seed milk.
That tastes a bit like ground-up ceiling tile.
Does it?
So, not as versatile as we thought then. In Los Angeles, I'm Cash Peters from Marketplace.
Cash Peters is a humorist whose latest book is Naked in Dangerous Places. The contentious health care reform debate continues all across the country. There's another discussion going on in the state of Massachusetts. Thousands of legal immigrants are about to lose their state-subsidized health insurance. It's supposed to save the state millions of dollars. But as reporter Joel Rose reports, not everyone thinks it will.
Massachusetts officials say they'll still be able to pay for emergency care and a handful of other services. But for the most part, 30,000 legal immigrants will find themselves without insurance come next month. Franklin Soltz is with the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition.
They're getting letters right now in the mail that's telling them that starting September 1st, they're no longer receiving health care insurance. So they'll just sort of fall through the cracks.
Massachusetts lawmakers decided to cut $90 million from subsidized care for recent immigrants in order to help close a massive budget deficit. But Brian Rossman of the nonprofit Health Care for All questions how much those cuts will really save.
What it's going to mean is a lot more uncompensated care, people going to hospitals, often emergency rooms, which are the most expensive places to get care.
Ultimately, Rossman says the cost of care will be passed on to hospitals and taxpayers in the form of higher insurance premiums. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Finally, I think we can all agree the global financial crisis hasn't been short on drama. And the BBC in Britain today said it plans to take that story to the small screen. Last Days of Lehman Brothers will show the bank's much maligned CEO, Dick Fuld, in his last efforts to rescue the company. Now, the Beeb says you'll get it all in that story: mystery, suspense, action. All right, probably not many car chases, but we could see a lot of angry bankers yelling and an economy in tears. Hey, check us out online at marketplace.org. We've got the scratch pad there. An online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, is waiting for your thoughts at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.